We will be looking at the faithful church this evening. So every church wants to be the faithful church. But there are definitely reasons why this church was faithful. So again, thank you guys for coming out. And those that are connecting by internet, thank you for being with us. But as we look at this church, let's start in verse 7, chapter 3. Everybody there? Say there if you're there. Anybody not there? Why not there? Come on. It's in the Old Testament. You can find it. It's pretty close to the Old Testament because after Revelation, you go to Genesis. See? It's pretty close. Yeah. Yeah. Keep going right, remember? Keep going right. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia. Right. Philadelphia means what?
Brotherly love.
Brotherly love. It needs a little bit more over that of that in Pennsylvania for sure, but yeah. To that angel, the messenger of the church in Philadelphia, write. So Jesus is writing this and encouraging John to write also these things. These things says he. Okay, so God is speaking. Who is? And so we have a description, four-part description of him right here. He is holy. He is true. Don't say praise the Lord after. He is holy. Praise the Lord, right? You know? He is true. Praise the Lord. Look at that. He has the keys of David. If you don't know what that means, we'll find out in just a moment. And he opens and no one shuts. And he shuts and no one opens.
Amen.
And no. So that's who he is. That's who we serve. That's who we want to follow. And he's the best to follow. I mean, he truly is. How good. Holy. True. All the things we know about God, how wonderful it is. You know, sometimes I think we're too busy. Anybody ever think that? I think we're just too busy. You know, slow down and to just spend time with him, get away with him. So he says to this church, to these people, remember here we are seeing a message to a specific church. We're also seeing a message that can address the body of Christ as they have moved throughout the generations. We see an application there. We see an application, too, as it would apply to us in our lives and to us as a church. You know, as we go through these seven churches, what can we learn for us individually, but our church, too? So, I know your works, he says. So, this is a church that has works. That's a good thing, you know, because they're good, godly works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. And we'll talk about it a little bit more, but don't you love the open door that God, when he opens a door for you? I mean, it's just an amazing thing. You know you're in God's will. You know, you walk through it. Sometimes it's a hard time getting there, you know. Okay, is it you, God? Is it not you? When I'm going to miss you, you know. Some people I know, and a person that I really, really love, and all, he just wants so much to be in the Lord's will, which is a good thing. But he gets so bound up in all the everything, you know. I think God's will is a little bigger sometimes is what I do. It's not, we like to see it as this little pinprick, you know. But I think it's a little bigger than that. And he says, okay, no, roam around in there. Not being disobedient in any way. But roam, you know, I got you covered. Relax. You ever hear God say, rat, relax? I know your work. See, I've set before you an open door and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, number one, have kept my word, number two, and have not denied my name. You know, put stars next to that. That's a good church. We'll see that little strength actually is in comparison. What it reality is that they had a lot of strength. They really did. A little strength, they kept my word, and have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet. Now, that is an amazing statement. Now, it's a reference to the church. You know, it wasn't a reference to this church. It's an overall church that we will see because there's going to be there's balancing of the scales and all of that. Someday everyone will bow to the Lord. Won't be bound to the church, but the church will be recognized for those that stayed faithful. They stayed faithful in comparison to those that don't. I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. Because you have kept, here's the reason, my command to persevere. Now, underline that. My command to persevere. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment. I also will keep you from the hour of trial, tribulation, testing, which shall come upon the whole world. Now, I wonder what testing that might be. You know? You know something that's not COVID. It's not. But, you know, there's something that has happened in our lives since March or a little before that that actually has allowed individuals to control the whole world. You guys aware of that?
Yeah.
I say individuals, you know, and all that, but ultimately, if you back through all the way to the enemy, something has happened that has never happened before like it has happened now. That is no small thing. I've been thinking about it and studying about it and praying about it, and I'm starting to get excited. Could it be, Lord? Could it be you're that close? That close. Now I'm going to say something, and please don't take me wrong, and I probably need to take this off so it's not recorded. But did you see where Trump said about his son-in-law that he's going to save the world? Did you guys see that? Trump said that his son-in-law, Jared, will save the world. I don't know what that means. He's a nice guy, you know, but he is over there in the Middle East. He has put a lot of few things together. I'm not saying anything. I'm really not. I'm not prone to that. But I just find it interesting. Find it interesting, all these little things. And so that could be a bad rumor. I shouldn't have said that. Like I said, take that one away. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I will also keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. Underline that. Now, if no one can take your crown, then no one can take your crown. Does that mean that somebody could take your crown? Because he's saying right there, I'm coming quickly. Hold fast. There it is, that perseverance again. Hold fast. This is a good church. It's complimented all the way through. Nothing is said bad about this church like the other churches. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will. And there's a series of I wills here. I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God. There's a series of names, three references to name here. And name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will, there's another will, the third I will, write on him my new name. It's all about a name, who we belong to, who we belong to. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. How wonderful it truly is. The Church of Philadelphia is the brotherly, as I said, brotherly love church, the church that is faithful to Christ and his word. That's the church we want to be, amen? That we would be faithful to Christ. We would persevere. We would not move to the left or to the right, but we would continue to go forward with him. Faithful church. It's, also, it was the church of revival. It was a church that had a world vision. It had overcome ritualism and legalism. As we saw with the other churches, that's what took them down. And so, a good church. This is a message of praise. Nothing evil, as I said, is spoken about this church whatsoever. So let's look at verse 7 again. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write these things, says he who is holy, who is true, who has the key of David, who opens up and no one shuts and shuts and no one's open. So let's look at those first things. First of all, Jesus said, holy. That's the title of God. And as we see there, a title of God, separated from sin and therefore consecrated to God. If we're separated from sin, we are also consecrated to the Lord in that way. Because he is holy, we can we can live a life that is holy too. Now, we definitely have struggles there because we still have the flesh. And we haven't. There's a battle that's raging, Romans chapter 9. We see that. But yet we can live. I know that you guys, I mean, here you are on a Wednesday night. It's cold out there. Anybody notice it's cold? It's really cold. But you came out, you know. We're still in the midst of COVID situation. But you're here, and I'm blessed by you guys that way. I pray for protection. I do pray for that. But here you are, and you're desiring to be in the Word. You're desiring, those that are watching by internet, they're desiring to be in the Word more so. And that's an amazing thing. That's a good thing. God does a work of holiness in it, in our lives, and He consecrates us. He sets us apart in those ways too. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15, it says, "But as He who has called you is holy, so be you holy in all manner of conversation." All manner of conversation. You know, His tongue gets you in trouble, doesn't it? It truly does. True. So not only holy, but He's true. Faithful. Or truthful, excuse me. He's genuine. It could be translated that way. He is completely true. You know, there's not anything, no variation in Him. Christ is the author of truth, in contrast to error or false doctrine. Obviously, John 14:6 says what? Jesus speaking. I am the way to truth and the life. Yeah. There you go. So right in the midst of it, He is the truth. And so that's why we want Jesus in our life. No man can come unto the Father except through Jesus Christ. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all, not even the slightest. So we can trust Him. He's holy, and He's true. And so when we get into His Word, it's truth that we're in the midst of. And I know that you know that, but it's wonderful. It's just wonderful. It's like when you read Proverbs. And I encourage everyone to read Proverbs. You know, I've said this before. What's today's date? 16th. What proverb should we have read today? 16. Tomorrow's the 17th. What proverb can we get to read tomorrow? 17. And so can you imagine if you read the 31 Proverbs 12 times a year, then multiply that for whatever year. Let's just say 10 years if you want to do that. Then you've got the truth being impacting your mind, impacting your heart, changing your life. When you go through life, then you'll see, and God will give you wisdom because you have that in your heart and your mind and all. It's a beautiful thing. It's the truth that we read. Notice it says, has the key of David. What does that mean, the key of David? This announces His royal claim as King and Lord and head of David's house. You know, fulfilling prophecy that we see in Jeremiah and different places, speaking of the Messiah. He looks towards the kingdom to be established on earth, the one that has the keys of David. Again, fulfillment of prophecy. You guys all have to go to Israel, all right? You're going to go. Jack Norton's going to pay for everybody. You guys want to go? What do you think? Jack can do that. He's a rich realtor. Okay, he can do that. You know, I asked him today, how long you been a realtor, Jack? And he said something like 70 years. That's hard to believe, but anyway, you know, he's going to take a step. You got to go to Israel, you know, pray about it, you know, stand on the corner and sell bottle caps or whatever it takes to get there. And you just see things that blow your mind, and you see, and you get to walk up to the Temple Mount, Mount Moriah. And, you know, you just look around. You just stand there. You look around, and there's buildings there. But you imagine when Abraham took Isaac up there, somewhere in that area, right on that same hill, and Jesus is coming back someday. Amen? Going to step His foot right in that area, you know, and it's going to be wonderful. He's going to come back, and He's going to rule there again. He's got a special thing about the city of Jerusalem. So, again, the King of David announces the royal claims as king that Jesus has. He has full administrative authority given to Him by the Father. And then Christ has the keys to truth and holiness. He can open and close according to His sovereign will. He is in charge of everything. He opens and no man shuts. And so He is sovereign. Jesus only gives us access to a holy God. Think about that. Jesus only gives us access to a holy God, to a holy Father. That's who we pray to. That's who we fellowship with. Holy. He's a wonderful Lord. Keep in mind, vision is given to them in this verse. But first, the church must see the King in all of his beauty, in all of his holiness, in all of his truth. Very important. When God calls us, as this church was called, it's important that he strips away things. And all we do is we see him. See him, you know, and fall deeply in love with him. And then we're ready to branch out and do what he wants us to do. We must always have a vision of him before anything else. And he'll give us that vision. Then they could see the open door because they had the vision of Christ. The mission fields we will see. If we have a vision of Christ, we will see the mission fields. We'll be pay attention to those. And you guys know the sign we have out here. You walk out now entering the mission field. And we are to keep that inside of our hearts. The vision of the King can give birth to a vision of the crowds. I'll say that again. The vision of the King can give birth to a vision of the crowds. So as we see the Lord, he'll simply just speak to us and open our hearts up to the needy. Tremendous need in our society, is there not? Tremendous. It's building. It's even more. You know, things didn't go the way that I wanted them to go with the election. I'll be honest with you. You know, and I think I'm in friendly company when I say that. Didn't go the way that I thought it would go. Matter of fact, I thought, gee, you know, we'll have it. So I got a little like, okay, what's going on here? Did I miss something? You know, what happened here? God, you're sovereign. You're in control. You're in everything. And so then I just slapped myself a couple times and realized, okay, grow up, Bill. God's doing something. He's doing something. And what he's going to do, we are much closer, I really believe in my spirit, to what we find in the book of Revelation, to the return of Jesus Christ. We're getting closer. I really mean that. I'm not one prone to that, but we're getting closer, I believe, to the return of Christ. I hope he comes before I kick the bucket. You know, that's a good way to go. I've been told that's a good way to go. I don't know. You know, Enoch went, not, you know, Elijah went a good way. Enoch did too. Yeah, he did. And verse 8, I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it, for you have a little strength. Keep my word and have not denied. You have kept my word and have not denied my name. Pretty simple verse, but personal involvement. I know. Notice how personally. I know. So the Lord knows our works. He knows what we do. He knows what we don't do. He knows everything about us. And he knows the works and the works that he's given. I have set before you. Notice that's what we want. I know your works. See, I've set before you an open door. Again, that's the doors we want to go. Opportunities, missions, evangelism. In 1 Corinthians 16:9, it says, for a great and effective door has been opened to me, and there are many adversaries. I have found, whenever we step forward into the ministry, there's resistance. Anybody find that? Just, you know, go ahead and volunteer. You know, I encourage you to volunteer, okay? I think everybody should be involved with, you know, volunteering, serving and all that. But how often when we volunteer, how something comes up, you know, how resistance is there. It's because it's a good work. But there is resistance. In 2 Corinthians 2:12, it says, furthermore, when I came to Troas, to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened to me by the Lord, as Paul spoke there. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 3, it says, meanwhile, praying also for us, that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains. You know, what do you think would happen if we prayed consistently for each other, that God would open doors for us to preach the gospel? You know, opportunities. Again, there's needy people. Any true door ultimately leads to the unveiling of Jesus Christ. I have found, as when God has opened doors and he said, hey, Bill, come on in. come this way. No, Lord, you sure about that? You really? You really sure? No, Lord, that can't be you. Indiana, that can't be you. You know, I say that all the time, but I'm not joking when I say that. In San Diego, in 10094 Connell Road, Scripps Ranch, you know, that was a good place. That was a good time for us. God, you want us to move from there, but I found it to be true. Any true door ultimately leads to the unveiling of Jesus Christ. We've been here for how many years now? 40 years. Been here for 40 years. Is it 40 years or 30? I've lost track. Okay, 33. I thought 40 would be a better story. You didn't go with me? Okay, all right, all right. Long time. I would not change it. I would not change the opportunity. I mean, I've met you guys, you know? Just the opportunity, the people that we've seen, the people that have gone through different Bible college, you know, just alone, that I've watched, and I've sat back and, Lord, that is amazing what you do. It is amazing. Again, any door, true door ultimately leads to the unveiling of Jesus Christ. Notice he says, you have a little strength. This points to a significant degree of spiritual power which comes from God. Although they might have been small in number, they were strong in Christ. It's a great church. It's a church that's on fire. Notice you have kept my word, a church which was in God's word, an obedient church. You have, number three, not denied my word. They gave testimony of Jesus and didn't deny him. Didn't deny him. Stayed strong in him. Again, unfortunately, I've seen people strong at times, but then they turn and they deny the Lord. Let's go to verse 9 there. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. They say that they are Jews. Jews who were unbelievers, that's who they were. Jews who were unbelievers who opposed the witness of Jesus Christ. They opposed him. They came against him. Go with me to Romans, please, chapter 2. Keep your finger there in Revelation. Romans chapter 2. Tell me when you're there. That was quick. You sure you're there? You're still turning pages. You can't be there. You're there. Okay. Everybody there? All right. Let's look at what he's saying here in Revelation by looking at verses 20, 28 and 29 here. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. It has nothing to do with the flesh. It has nothing to do with the efforts of man. But verse 29, he is a Jew, a true believer, who is one inwardly. And circumcised in incision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, not by the law, whose praise is not from men, but from God. That's what he was talking about, this church. Go back to Revelation here again. We see in verse 9, they say they are Jews. That's all they were. They weren't truly believers. As a result of their unfaithfulness, they will acknowledge that these are the true worshipers of God. That's what's going to happen when it says that they'll bow down. As a result of their unfaithfulness, they will acknowledge that these are the true worshipers of God, the true church. That's what Jesus, I believe, is saying there. Verse 10, because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, praise the Lord, which shall come upon the whole earth, the whole world, to test those who dwell on the earth. He has kept. Simply put, they kept their eyes on Jesus. Because you have kept your eyes on Jesus, you've persevered and followed my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour that we see here, and of trouble that will come. And they persevered. In other words, they were patient. They endured with patient perseverance. Today we wait for which we do not see. Amen? So what were they talking about here? What is Jesus believe? I believe he's talking about the rest of the book of Revelation. You know, tribulation that's coming. And I'm a pre-trib rapture. guy. I truly am in my studies and my theology, and I embrace those that aren't. You know, they're my brothers and sisters and all that. So wherever you fall, it's great. But as we go up in the rapture, when it's going to, you know, as I have said before, when we go up, I'm going to look over at you and said, yep, see, I was right. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? And if that's who you are and that's true, you're going to say, yep-er. I'm glad. I just believe. It's one of the things here. It says, I also will keep you from the hour of trial. Notice it says, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Now, I don't believe that we're not going to have difficulties. You know, before the rapture comes, I believe there's potential to have great difficulty. Great difficulty. But keep us from the ultimate that we see all the way through there. And we'll be studying it. Some of it's not a very pretty picture, but it's true. Who through faith and patience, they inherit the promises. It says in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. So we must persevere. We must stay strong. Let patience have its perfect work. James chapter 1, verse 4. They were looking for the return of Jesus. Are we looking for the return of Jesus? I pray. I love that. Amen. Yes. We're looking for him. Can he come tonight? I think so. It'd be a great, great time to come. This whole thing's coming pretty soon. What is it, to the southwest? Where, what is it, Venus and Saturn lining up here? What is it? Jupiter and Saturn. When's it going to happen? It's right here in December. 21st. Okay, you can speak up. That's all right. 21st, right? I'm going to stand out there, and I'm praying for a clear night. I want to see this, okay? That would be a great opportunity. We're looking to the sky, and here he comes. Here he comes, you know. That would be great. We believe weird things. We certainly do, you know. But he's going to come. He's going to come. What? Bless you. Thank you, Mike. I need blessing. But notice it says, because you have kept my word to persevere, I also will keep you. Be confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will do what? Continue. He'll complete it to the day of Jesus Christ. God, that's who we serve. It's not about us. It's about all of his strength. And this church knew that. They stayed strong. Everything about this church is good. This is the church to model. This is our life that we should model. We should study this. And they persevered because things can get difficult. This deliverance is from a period of time in which the trial exists, the great tribulation period, I believe, from, out of. In other words, that word from is really can be translated more correctly, I believe, out of. Not just from, but I'll keep you out of. You know, one of those verses that points that does not say, it's important, it doesn't say through. Through. No, remember in the days of Noah, I'll take you through. Okay? He says, I'm going to take you out of. There's a world of difference. Look for the small words in that way. Enoch was taken out. Enoch is a type of the church. Moses or Noah was a type of Israel. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord. He's going to take us out of tribulation, testing. Go with me to 2 Thessalonians, please. It's in the Old Testament. 2 Thessalonians. No, new. No. I'm just stupid tonight. 2 Thessalonians, please, chapter 2. I'm not even there yet. Everybody there? Okay, let's look at this. Guys, you've studied this, but let's keep this in mind as we go through what we've just been speaking of. Notice beginning in verse 7. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. I personally believe it points to the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit in the church and inside of the church being taken out during the end times, backing off. And then verse 8, the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Praise the Lord. Look at verse 9. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Look at that choice that is there. The choice was given. I don't know about you guys, but I personally believe that God speaks and gives every single human being a opportunity. I do not believe that God has created some people to go to hell. I believe that people make that choice. Okay, so you know my theology right there. Okay, but I just believe that. I believe God is good. Like we were talking about the last week, just taking your name out of the book. You know, I believe God's put the name of every single person in that book because that's the heart of God. I just believe that. That's who he is from Genesis to Revelation. So that's my theology, and you guys fall wherever you want. But then a person by their choice can remove their name by their choice. And because God gives people a choice. And again, I do not believe that God makes some people to go to hell. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, verse 10, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they may believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Not a pretty picture. But it should be an encouragement for us. There's our mission. So we speak to people and we give them an opportunity to move from unrighteousness to righteousness. Go to Revelation chapter 14, please. Verse 9. Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast in his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name." The world's getting set up even more so. Don't you feel, guys and gals? I mean, it's getting more set up. And you know, if they can take this, COVID is it's a real thing, but it's been taken and used in a real way, a real powerful way. We cannot be unwise. We've got to have our eyes open to see what is going on. And then we know it's about souls. So we've got to get even more ready. There in verse 12, it says, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, 'Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them.'" Praise the Lord. God is good. Back to Revelation again, please, guys, if you don't mind. There, going to verse 11. We're almost finished. Verse 11. "Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown." In other words, he's coming quickly. It means suddenly, unexpectedly, he will come. It doesn't mean that immediately. It means imminently that he'll come. He will come, and when he comes, he will come quickly. You know, it's not going to be he's not going to make a left and go to Hawaii and stay on the beach for a while. He's going to Jerusalem. You know, he's going to go there and he's going to come quickly. And I'm excited about that too. "Hold fast, let no man rob you what you have." What do we have? Spiritual possessions. Don't let anybody take it away. You know, and we've talked about truth here. We've talked about, we need to talk about grace, service to Christ, and crown. Are spoken of in the New Testament. They represent awards for service that where we serve Christ. It has nothing to do necessarily with salvation. It has service. You see the crown of life, the crown of glory, the crown of righteousness, the crown of rejoicing. And Esau lost his place to Jacob. Be careful. Reuben the eldest son of Jacob lost his place to Judah for his action at Meribah. Moses was superseded by Joshua. Saul lost his place to David. Shebna lost his place to Eliakim. Joab and Abathar lost their places to Benaniah and Zadok for their lack of faith. Elijah was superseded by Elisha, you know. And so we have to be careful in our lives in that way too. Remain strong, persevere. Let no one take what doesn't belong to them. Stay strong in the Lord. Amen? Yeah. So I say that not to bring fear, but it is a challenge we see in Scripture. Over and over, this word persevere. Persevere. Stay strong. And that's why this church was a good church, because it did exactly that. Don't wander. Don't wander. Verse 12, he who overcomes, I will make him pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. Overcomers, we are to behave as overcomers. We are more than conquerors, it tells us in Romans chapter 8. That's a good one to study to do. Permanency, it speaks of here when you see this pillar. Stability, strength, beauty. Go out no more, no longer exposed to the temptations and trials of this present life. And the I wills, God will make the overcomers strong. I will, I will, I will. God will. And so we trust on that. Lord, I can't. We're in a good place. And then we just trust that he will. No one can save a person, right? But God says, I will. And we have to trust and pray. Names God will mark the overcomers with. Name of my God, his Father in heaven, to show that he belongs to God. We're going to be marked with that name. We're going to be marked with the name of the city of Jerusalem. We are a citizen of heaven, is what he's saying. My new name, to show that we belong to Jesus. We see that in Revelation as it closes out. You know, we're going to have a mark on not the Antichrist, but there's going to be something that's going to be put in our life, the name of God. In 1 Corinthians 2:9, it says, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And then verse 13, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The closing out there. Great church, is it not? Great church. I want to read something. I didn't write this. I found this, and there's no author, so I can't give credit to him, but I love this. The Lord, in the light of Christmas, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we exalt, is not just a baby in a manger. He is not a character in a children's story. He is far more. The first time he came veiled in the form of a child. The next time he comes, and we believe it will be soon, he will come unveiled. And it will be abundantly and immediately clear to all the world just who he really is. Every eye shall see, every tongue shall confess when he comes. The first time he came, a star marked his arrival. The next time he comes, the whole heavens will roll up like a scroll, and all the stars will fall out of the sky, and he himself will light it. The first time he came, the wise men and shepherds brought him gifts. The next time he comes, he will bring gifts, rewards for his own. The first time he came, there was no room for him. The next time he comes, the whole world will not be able to contain his glory. The first time he came, only a few attended his arrival, some shepherds and some wise men. The next time he comes, every eye shall see him. The first time he came as a baby, soon he will come as sovereign king and Lord. Amen? Persevere. Persevere. Stay strong. Stay in the Lord. Stay in our disciplines, because it works, you know. And we'll be known as the faithful church, the church of brotherly love. In closing, I found this little story here. When Pompeii was destroyed by the eruption of Mount Vesuvius, there were many people buried in the ruins. Some were found in cellars, as if they had gone there for security. Some were found in upper rooms of buildings. But where was the Roman centurion found, standing at the city gate where he had been placed by the captain, with his hand still grasping his weapon. There, while the earth stood beneath him, there, while the floods of ashes and cinders covered him, he had stood at his post. And there, after 1,000 years, was this faithful man still to be found. It's a true story. You know, they, from that volcano going off, the ashes and everything, and there's a Roman centurion standing there with his sword. That's who we are to be, you know, not stone, but we're going to stand strong. Amen? We'll follow the Lord, whatever he says for us. Father, thank you for the simplicity of your word. And we pray that we would be the church, the people of brotherly love, and we would persevere. Thank you, Lord, that you tell us that you will take us through, that you are faithful, and you're the one that will accomplish it in our lives. So we love you and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand.